and welcome to this week's episode of the Fun of the Run podcast. I'm your host, Michelle, also known as Waddell Running Lady, and I just want to thank you for being here. You can always reach me on Instagram at Waddell Running Lady. Just send me a direct message there, or you can always email the podcast at funoftherunpodcast@gmail.com. I read every message, I read every email, and I love hearing what you have to say. Feel free to comment on these podcast episodes and let me know what you think about today's episode as well. Well, without further ado, let's get started. This past week, I had the opportunity of attending another one of our church camp meetings. So we call them camp meeting. It's kind of an old-fashioned term. I think nowadays most people would relate to maybe calling it a convention or something like that. But basically it was 5 days and it started on Wednesday night. And it's kind of a lot when you are the host congregation. So my duties involved cooking Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, the noon meal. And it wasn't just me, there was a group of us, but it's a lot of work, but I absolutely love doing that. And so, but it does take up a lot of time. And so how that relates to running and the reason I'm telling you all about this is because it does relate to my running. This past week, it started Wednesday night, the services start at 6:30 p.m. We would get out a couple hours later, have a meal after church or a snack or whatever. And then the next day at 9 a.m., I would be in the kitchen and cooking and then get through making whatever the meal is. And that happened Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Well, on Thursday, I had a 7-mile run scheduled. And the way these church services worked was we would have one in the morning, which obviously I didn't attend because I was out in the kitchen cooking. So we would have this service and then we would have another, like a choir practice at 5:30 in the afternoon, and then a service at 6:30. And then we would get out later that night. And then there would be another kind of snack after that. And so we'd get home late and then start all over again the next day. So I was just running constantly for these 4 or 5 days. Well, I had a run scheduled on Thursday and it was supposed to be 7 miles. And my coach specified this run needed to happen on the trails. I am currently training for Hot Foot Hamster 12-hour race, which is happening on June 1st. So I've got to get some longer runs in, and I have not gotten a lot of long runs in since Lake Martin 50. My runs have been no longer than, I think, 5 miles, maybe 5.5 is the longest I've gone since Lake Martin. So it's time for me to, you know, increase those miles. So this was my first longer run since Lake Martin. So I rushed as fast as I could. I left the church, I think at 1:30 on Thursday afternoon. Mind you, it's April in the Phoenix, Arizona area. The high was 93. And by the time I drove out to the White Tanks Regional Park, hauled my bag into the bathroom stall, changed into my running gear, put my vest on, did all this stuff, got my ice bandana ready, I probably hit the trail about 2:30, something like that. So peak heat, you know, I mean the hottest part of the day, it's 93 at this point. Well, actually it was 92 and then it ended up hitting 93 as I was out there, but it was really hot. And I was determined to get these 7 miles in, but yet the whole time in the back of my mind, I know that I need to be back at 5:30 for choir practice and it's 2:30. And I'm 20 minutes from home and I have to shower and change clothes. And there's a lot of things that need to happen between now and then, besides running the 7 miles. I set out on this loop that is about 3.85 miles. So I parked my car at Area 7 at the White Tanks. And those of you who are local know where Area 7 is. And you can go different directions from Area 7. But this day, I decided to take the Waddell Trail to Ford Canyon, to Mesquite Canyon, and back to Area 7. So anyhow, it ends up being about 3.85 miles. My reason for doing that was I could hit my car halfway at the halfway point of this run. And I had a cooler in my car, an ice chest that was full of ice. and I had extra water in there. I had another pack of Tailwind so I could refill. I just really wanted to be prepared for anything because I knew that, you know, my first few runs back into the heat every year are just, they're hard. I mean, it's hard all summer long when you're running in the heat, but those first few runs back are just, they just really take it out of you. And so I knew that I was going to need some extra support. And so I was like, I'm not running 7 miles straight. I'm going to hit the car at the halfway point. So that was my plan. Well, like I said, it was 93 degrees. I was dragging. I was already tired from just, you know, this was Friday. So I said Thursday, didn't I? Okay, this was actually Friday. So I was tired from, you know, we're halfway through this meeting, late nights, you know, working during the day. I was tired already. But I was like, you know, I can do this. I am strong. I'm capable. I can handle this. But by the time I got back to my car and I was closing in on that 4 mile mark, I looked at the time and I looked at how long that, you know, this run had already taken me. And I knew that I could not complete the next loop in the same amount of time that I completed this loop. I'm like, there's no way I can do it. I'm going to have to slow down because of this heat. And if I slow down, I'm not going to be able to make it to choir practice. I maybe won't make it to church. You know what I'm saying? I knew that I needed to cut the run short. And so I made sure everything rounded out to 4 miles. I kept going a little bit longer to hit 4 miles. And then I called it, got my car, drove back home and changed and went back to church. Well, the thing about it is I felt kind of bad after cutting this run short. And the reason I felt bad was I texted my coach and said, you know, I promise I'm not a wimp, but I cut this run short. Here's why, this and that. And she replied back that basically it's your journey and that, you know, if you want to make time for running, you're going to have to schedule your runs out ahead of time and all this stuff. And later, you know, I basically replied and said, well, I did schedule my runs out. That's not the problem. No, I always schedule my runs out. That had nothing to do with it. This literally was the only time I could run because she mentioned something about, you know, if you push your runs off, it's harder to get them in and blah, blah, blah. But I didn't push this run off. This was literally the only time that I could run was between services in the afternoon. I wasn't able to do it ahead of time before I started cooking in the mornings. There just wasn't time to get 7 miles in, especially at my pace and with going to bed as late as I was, whatever. It would have just been a recipe for crashing and burning. And so I knew this was my only option. So anyways, we texted back and forth and she's like, well, that's not what I meant. I was just trying to help, whatever. And because I kind of felt bad, like, okay, well, she's basically thinks I didn't work hard enough or that I didn't push hard enough. And I did the best I could today. And so it just kind of took a little bit of mental readjusting on my part and just recognizing that I did the best that I could on that day. And 4 miles is not 7 miles, but 4 miles is better than no miles. And honestly, I believe sometimes, especially on a really hot day, those 4 miles are just as hard as 7 miles on a cooler day. I was happy with the effort. So that's basically what happened during this church meeting. So it ended yesterday. It ended last night. We got home probably, I don't know, 11 p.m. And we are back to business today. And it's not quite business as usual because we've got a wedding in 5 weeks. And that kind of slapped me upside of the head, I'll be honest, because someone mentioned something, well, how far away is the wedding? And I'm like, oh, I was thinking 6 weeks and it's not, it's five. And I'm stressing so much. So my plan is until the beginning of May, at least. So maybe for all of this week and maybe one more week after that is to continue running just 3 days a week and Sunday being my rest day. And then the cross training days that are in between, most likely I won't get to cross train. I will be doing all of this wedding sewing and it's got to get done. So I'm really focusing on getting the sewing in. We've got a bridal shower this weekend for my daughter and my son-in-law's bachelor party that my husband's going to attend. The following week after that, you know, is the bachelor trip that my son-in-law is going on. We've got my daughter's graduation coming up. Well, her grad banquet is in 3 weeks. And then her graduation is in 4 weeks. My other son graduates in 4.5 weeks. So there's just a ton of stuff going on right now. And so running is kind of having to be my stress reliever in between all of the other stuff that's going on, just besides regular life too. You know, you got all the regular life stuff going on and then these things on top. So that's okay. It's just a season I'm in right now and we will get through it. All right. So that is my mid church meeting run story. Probably super boring. Sorry about that. The week before this church meeting, so the week before last, I had the opportunity of being a guest on Jason Heffner's Give Rise podcast. If you don't know who Jason Heffner is, you need to know who he is because he's just such an amazing person. On Instagram, you can find him at All In Is The Default. Again, that is All In Is The Default. And I met Jason before the start of my first ultra marathon back in 2023 at Coldwater. He came up and met me and recognized me from social media and gave me some tips about the course and just was very encouraging and kind. And I met him the following year at Coldwater again, so this past January, and he reached out and asked if I would be a guest on his podcast, and I was absolutely honored. We talked about lots of things, but that episode will be released sometime this week. I will make sure and give you a heads up when that is released so that you can go check it out. But Jason is amazing and he's such an encouraging person, even though we are so different. He is, I think, mid-20s. I'm almost 50. He is super fast. I am super slow. We are the same in a lot of ways too. And just the way that we think about things and our mindset. And so it was such an honor and a privilege to get to be on his podcast. But he asked me something that I feel like I didn't give a very good answer to his question. And so I wanted to revisit that question in my own podcast today and talk about something. He asked me, you know, before I started running ultra marathons, I ran road marathons. I ran 4 of them. And he wanted to know, what did I tell myself when those marathons got hard? When I got to a dark place, when I got to a difficult spot during a marathon attempt. And I think the answer I gave him was something like, well, I didn't get into it very deeply. I talked to him about my first marathon and told him that, well, I didn't really know enough to be scared, you know, at my first one. But since recording that episode with him, I thought about it a little bit more. And my second marathon was the virtual Grandma's Marathon. My third marathon was Long Beach Marathon. And my fourth one was Chicago Marathon in 2022. And during each one of those events, I did have low places and I did have hard places that I had to get through. And I think something that helped me with each one of those was knowing that there was a finish line to get to, and there was somebody waiting there with a medal. And I knew that these roads were going to be reopened if I didn't pick up the pace. And I knew that I had to finish. I don't know how to explain it, but when I was in the middle of running those marathons, I really did not have a mantra or a question to ask myself. Like, since I started running ultras, I have this question that I ask myself every time: how will I feel if I don't finish? You know, how will I feel tomorrow when I wake up and realize that I didn't do what I set out to do? Back in those days, which really wasn't that long ago, I didn't have those same kind of mantras yet. And I didn't have those same kind of coping tools that I have now, which I just think is just an interesting distinction to make. And I don't know if that's the case for everybody or just for me, but I just remember I did not have those things to pull that pool of kind of resources to pull from when I was running road marathons like I do now when I'm running ultras. Running road marathons a lot of times is about the pace, and it's about, I feel like it's a lot more competitive. Not for me. I was just trying to finish. But I feel like the whole mindset of a road marathon is so much different than an ultra marathon, which is based more on distance and, you know, just finishing the thing versus pace and time in road races. That's just how I see them. And so I just wanted to kind of make that distinction. I never answered Jason's question very good in the podcast, but I wanted to just revisit that here and say that I don't know that I really had any resources to pull from back in those days. I just kind of had to rely on my own mental strength, I guess, that I just was not going to quit and that I just was going to keep going, even though this was really, really, really hard. Because let's face it, a road marathon is very, very, very hard. It's grueling. It's very difficult. And I'm not going to tell you that it isn't just because I run farther now. Those were some difficult races and some difficult days. So just thought that was worth mentioning. I think that the marathon was instrumental in helping me feel confident to tackle the next distance, which was a 50K, because I felt like if I can finish 26.2, why on earth can I not run an extra 4 or 5 miles and hit 50K or about 31 miles? So the marathon was hugely instrumental in my confidence and feeling like I could move on to the ultra distance. When I first started running, and especially when I wanted to run the marathon distance, I remember going to YouTube and pulling up some different videos talking about marathons that were back of the pack friendly. And there was one lady I can remember, she was blonde. I have no idea if I could even find the video again, but she was explaining about the races that she ran and how they had plenty of time and this and that. But I don't remember her giving specifics as far as here's how much time it took me and here's how long this race took, or here's how long the cutoff was. I remember thinking that I wished I could find a way to, I wish there was a place or a resource for finding races that had long enough cutoffs for what I needed. And I still wish that. I would love to put something together that way, to have a resource for people to go to. Like, if you are pace challenged, if you are back of the pack, no, not if you're back of the pack. If you are back of the back of the pack, here are some races that you should run. I feel like a lot of the times when people say back of the pack, that can mean so many things, because I've seen people say, I'm a back of the pack runner, and I look at their paces and I'm like, you and I are not the same. You say you're a back of the pack runner, but you're not compared to me. And so I started calling myself a back of the back of the pack runner, because I feel like that's more accurate. And I've shared this analogy before. If you take front of the pack, middle of the pack, and back of the pack, each one of those groups could have also a front, middle, and back. And so the way I look at it is, if you take that back of the pack, that whole group, and divide it into thirds, I'm in that last third category. And I'm actually at the back of that last third category, because in a lot of trail races, a lot of ultra races, I come in last or maybe three from last. That's my spot. That's where I'm always at. And that's awesome. So I would love to someday put together a resource for people, whether they want to run road marathons or ultras, trail races, things like that. Back of the pack friendly races. I still need to work on that, because I have had requests for that and I need to do that and get that done. Here's my recommendation for you. Okay, so I don't have a list, but I do have recommendations. This is what I do. There's a race that I want to run. I go to the race website. I read everything. I look for the course time limits. I read through and, you know, does that mean, how do they come up with that course limit? I mostly always run trail events now, but you can do the same thing for road races. You just want to make sure that you are 100% sure how long that you have on that course. Road marathons are different from ultras because roads, you're closing down streets where people drive. You know, the city or wherever this race is being held can only have the roads open for runners for so long. And so those are going to be more tight and more strict, and you may have to move to the sidewalk. The finish line may be down, the aid stations may be gone, and you may or may not get a medal. You have to investigate all of those things before you commit to registering for that race. Investigate that. Email the race director if you have to. Find all of that out so that you're not disappointed on race day. It's so important. You want to give yourself the best advantage, the most advantages that you can. So I highly encourage you to reach out, do all of your research. Don't just sign up. Figure it out first so that you know what to expect on race day, just in case. With trail races, I feel like a lot of times you can possibly have a better chance of finding something that you can do. Ultras are really about pushing your own personal limits and finishing the distance, completing the distance, covering the distance. The last finisher is celebrated just as much as the first finisher in an ultra environment. That's what I found to be true. It takes so much grit and mental fortitude to go out there and run these distances that no one out there doing the same thing you're doing is going to be criticizing you. The people that are going to be criticizing you are the ones who are not doing this. Trust me, I found this out. I've had so many trolls, so many negative comments, and people telling me that I need to start training and that I should probably try a 5K first before I go out and run an ultra, and just ridiculous comments. It's important to, even in a trail race or in an ultra marathon, go through and read everything that you can on the event website. Look at the course cutoffs. Look where you have to be at certain times. Depending on the race, they will give you an actual time, like 50K runners need to be at such and such aid station by 1 p.m. Final cutoff is 7 p.m. or whatever. If you cannot find that information, again, email the race director, email the event, find somebody that can help you. It's critical to know what you're getting into. And if you can realistically cover the distance in the allotted time. Now, I'm going to give you an example of how kind of this situation played out for me. I've shared it before, but when I was looking for my first 50-mile race, someone suggested Lake Martin 50-miler. And I have such a frog in my throat. I'm so sorry, you guys. I sound terrible. But when I was running Lake Martin, when I was wanting to run Lake Martin, I saw that the cutoff was 16 hours for 50 miles. Now, I know my pace and I know how long it takes me to run, you know, a 50K. And before Lake Martin, my most recent 50K took me 13 and a half hours, I believe. And so I knew that I could not run 50 miles in 16 hours. I emailed the race director, and because I had heard that the cutoffs could be relaxed a little bit. So I emailed the race director and he emailed me back and said, "Michelle, I would love to have you come run this race. You have plenty of time. I will allow you to have the same cutoffs as the 100 milers," which ended up being 32-ish hours. So I signed up and I registered for the race. Now, I would not have ever known that if I wouldn't have reached out to the race director. I would have just said, "No, this is a race I can't do. I can't make it in 16 hours." And I would have never gone to Alabama and experienced, you know, the race I had there and met Murray Warren in person. And I would have never met that race director in person. His name is David Tosh. I would have never had that experience that I had. I did DNF that race, by the way. I only made it to 40 miles, but it was an awesome experience and I have no regrets. Well, I never would have had that experience if I wouldn't have taken the time to email the race director. Same goes for my hometown races. Here where I live in the Phoenix, Arizona area, a lot of the awesome events are put on by AeroViper Running. And I have had to reach out to them and say, is this a race that I can run? Like, do you think the cutoffs, you know, I could make these cutoffs? And they'll be like, well, why don't you try this race instead? Or, yeah, this one would be fine. We can relax it a little bit, because as long as you're, you know, keep up with the 50 milers, you should be fine with the 50K. Or as long as you can keep up with so-and-so, you'll be fine. But you don't know unless you ask. And so advocate for yourself and reach out, and there will be events that you can't do. If you're like me, I am extremely pace challenged. My goal on trail races is to try to stay under a 20-minute mile. Sometimes I can do that. Sometimes I can't. I know that's so slow to a lot of you listening to this, but that's where I'm at. And so it's critical for me to know which events I can attend where I have a chance of actually finishing before the course cutoff. So let that just be a lesson to you. I hope that is helpful to somebody. Reach out to the event, email the race director, find somebody that can help you and answer all of your questions. And for me personally, there are some events that I know I will not be able to finish before the course cutoff. So I don't sign up for those. However, I am considering signing up for some of them anyways, just to experience the course, because some of them are on courses that I will not get to experience if I don't just sign up and just get as far as I can, knowing I'm not going to finish, but at least getting out on the trails, running with my friends and being out in nature and seeing these beautiful places that I wouldn't otherwise get to see, even if I can't finish. So that's another option as well. I feel like this episode is going all over the place and that I don't even know what I'm talking about, but that kind of all ties in with Jason asking me, you know, what do you think of during the low points in a marathon? That kind of got me off on figuring out which marathons are back of the pack friendly and then which ultras are, and just kind of giving you a few tips about that. I'm going to segue into what I'm dealing with right now. Is it's April 22nd and we've already hit 100 degrees yesterday. And today I'm not sure what the high is supposed to be. Let me check. Today the high is 98 degrees. So we are in hot weather paradise right now. It's just going to go up from here. But I thought I would share a few of the things that I do as someone who lives in the desert to be able to still run throughout the summer months. I'm going to preface this by saying that you know your body best, and just because I tell you that this is what I do does not mean that this is what you should do. I am just here to share my own personal experiences and what works for me. So please don't do anything stupid or anything crazy just because Michelle Waddell Running Lady tells you that this is what she does. I'm just telling you how I get through the summer months here. Now, again, I live in the Phoenix, Arizona area. We have that quote unquote dry heat that everyone talks about. We do get humid weather sometimes. And when the monsoon hits, and usually in July, it will get humid. But for the most part, it is a dry heat. However, that dry heat is not something to mess with. Just because it's a dry heat does not mean, oh, they've got it easy there. It's not, trust me. And if you lived here, you wouldn't think so either. It's basically like living in an oven or having somebody just blowing hot air on you at all times, like a hairdryer. I don't know. It's very intense. And the sun is very intense and there's nothing to block it. It's just extreme and people die all the time from heat stroke, from heat sickness, from all kinds of things. You have to be very careful. I have to be very careful. But being as the heat is dry, a big goal that I have when I'm out running in those triple digit temps is I want to keep my body cool. I want to keep my core temperature cool. So I will do things like whatever shirt I'm going to run in, I want it to be tech fabric typically. I will take that shirt and just absolutely soak it and then put it on. So if there's like a bathroom at the trailhead, I will take my shirt off, put it in the sink, run it under the water, and then stick it back over my body. If I don't have a sink or a spigot, maybe I have a jug of water that I will just soak my shirt and pour water all over it, put it back on. I will shove ice in my sports bra. I will do that as necessary. I'll put it in the front. I will put it in the sides. I'll put ice down my back. I always wear a hat or a visor in the summer. Actually, I do in the winter too, because it's sunny here year round. So I always wear a hat when I run, but I will take that hat and I will run it underwater. If there's room in the brim, I will put ice in there and slap that thing on my head. I wear an ice bandana as well. And that has been a game changer for me. You can check out SoCal Ice Bandanas on Instagram. Rabbit makes an ice bandana. There are other people that make ice bandanas. My favorites are SoCal Ice Bandana, though. The ice bandanas that I use most of the times have a microfiber pocket in it. I shove ice in it, roll it up, tie it around my neck. I actually wet the bandana first before I put it on. Before I put ice in it, I wet it first because it makes it feel so much better, like evaporative cooling. Tie that around my neck. And probably the biggest tip that I have for the kind of running that I do in the temps that I run in, which, like I said, a lot of the times are triple digit temps in the summer, is I use my car as an aid station. And I will bring a cooler and I will have a bag of ice in there. I will have extra water in there. I will have Gatorades in there, whatever I feel like I need, sometimes an extra shirt, whatever. And I will do loops from my car. And there are short loops. When it's very, very hot, like I'm talking 108, 111, whatever, however hot it is, I try not to get out when it's 117. I try to stay to not do that. But when it's very hot in the triple digit temps, I will do an out and back. So like a loop from my car back to my car. I will try to make those loops no longer than 2 miles out and then 2 miles back. So a total of 4 mile loops. A lot of times I just do 3 mile loops. So I'll go out for a mile and a half and back for a mile and a half. And then when I get back to my car, my ice needs to be refilled. I need to shove more ice down my shirt. I need to wet my shirt again, whatever. And then I will head out for another 4 miles. And then I just do that until I hit whatever mileage I need for the day. That could be 8, it could be 12, whatever. It just depends. And that's probably my biggest tip, is using my car as an aid station. I learned that from my coach, Kylie. And it has been a game changer as well. Just as much as the ice bandana was a huge game changer, but so was using my car as an aid station. That one thing right there has really allowed me to continue to run through the entire summer. Of course, you do have the option of using a treadmill, whether that be at a gym. I actually own a treadmill, so I'm able to come home and use that if needed. I just really, really hate running on the treadmill, especially mine, because it doesn't have a decline feature. And I feel like the decline feature makes running so much easier on a treadmill. It just feels easier mentally. That is always an option. If it's extreme heat and dangerous to be out, the treadmill is an option. I really do try to avoid it at all costs because I detest it. So those are some hot weather tips. Also stay hydrated. Make sure that you have electrolytes, that you're drinking electrolytes. Make sure that you are hydrating before your run, not just during your run, not just on the way to your run, but make sure you're hydrating before, during, and after. And just be smart and listen to your body and don't be foolish. And try to run in shady spots. There are a few shady spots here, not on the trails, but there is a 2 mile loop in a neighborhood here locally that I will try to run on if I need some road miles, or if it's just so hot that I don't want to hit the trails because I just don't feel like dealing with the heat that day. I will go to this tree lined street. It's still extremely hot. It's still triple digits, but at least the sun isn't beating down on my head quite as much if I'm on a tree lined street. That's pretty much all I've got this week, everybody. Thank you for being so gracious about me not releasing an episode last week. I had a series of headaches Friday, Saturday, skip Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. I had a headache every morning I woke up with, and it was just, I would be nauseous, and I don't know if it was hormones. I don't know if I was dehydrated. I have no idea. But I dealt with that for 4 days going into this church meeting. And so there was just no way to record an episode last week, feeling like that and just really stressed out and a lot of things going on. So thank you for being so gracious about not having a new episode last week. I really appreciate you all so much. Let me know what you think. Give me any feedback that you have. I hope that you got something good, some nugget of goodness from this episode. And if not, I apologize. And hopefully next week will be better. As always, thank you for listening. And I hope that you will join me next week for the Fun of the Run podcast. Thank you.